Now, the one who protects us all from prattling prognosticators and perfidious pundits.
I say, America, stay out the bushes.
For the union labor.
And to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed.
From my cold, dead hands.
It's time for the Alan Nathan Show. Here he is, the longest-running nationally syndicated centrist host in the country, Alan Nathan.
Welcome aboard, everybody. Welcome aboard. I'm ever yours, Alan Nathan, the militant moderate. Thank you so much for joining us. If this is your virgin voyage, allow me to share with you our mantra. Folks, we want the Republicans out of our bedroom, the Democrats out of our wallets, and both out of our First and Second Amendment rights. We feel there exists this cavernous gap separating the two orthodoxies, and that it's a gap comprised of many degreed thinking people who can argue quite passionately in shades of gray. And to that end, each and every show, we have fine guests to help best illustrate this point. Today is no exception. Also, if you wish to hook up with us on the web, it's www.alannathan.com. Don't forget that email address, alan@alannathan.com. That's A-L-A-N. Coming at you live and strong each and every Monday through Friday at this time. Don't forget the classic Alan Nathan Show, Saturday, 6 to 7 p.m. And overnight Sunday mornings, 3 to 4, all times Eastern. We are indeed a Main Street Radio Network production. Please check us out at mainstreetradionetwork.com. Feel free to avail yourselves of our nascent but always robust Twitter and Facebook options that we have there for you. And, of course, with great dispatch and alacrity, we love to thank our distributor, the Salem Radio Network. That's right, the Alan Nathan Show is entering its 28th year of national syndication, all thanks to you, reaching about 800 towns and cities across a couple of hundred radio station broadcasts each week again, all thanks to you. And by the way, I don't care if you're part of the authoritarian left or perpetually clueless right, please get out of the thought control business. Also, check us out on Listen Notes Podcast Network, as well as Apple and Amazon Music UK, Amazon Music, of course, Amazon Music India and Italy. We're also on Spotify. Check us out on CRN Talk. They've been taking us for years. They're a radio network unto themselves. You can check them out at crntalk.com. We're on their Channel 4. They also carry us over Roku. But, of course, without my audience, none of the rest would be possible. So thank you again all very much. Our topics du jour, as you may have heard, well, the Ninth Appellate Court unanimously sides with Trump's use of the National Guard protecting ICE agents against rioters in L.A. What does this do? It hands California Governor Gavin Newsom and his fellow Democrats an immense defeat on the issue. The big question is, will this quell the left's unhinged behavior on the matter? I think not. Also, will Trump authorize the use of our bunker-busting massive ordnance penetrator to destroy Iran's Fordo nuclear facility? You know, the one that's buried like 300 feet below ground? And oh yeah, would this conflict with his America First agenda, or perhaps be in support of it, given the nuclear risk to our nation? Lots to get into, and as of course, as per the norm, never enough time to do everything we'd like. But we're going to give it a shot. Lots to cover here, I'll tell you. Anyway, assisting the opining and analyzing, old friend of the show, Tom Schatz, president of Citizens Against Government Waste. His editorials on fiscal policies have appeared in publications nationwide. We're talking the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal. He's also testified on plenty of occasions concerning government waste issues before both congressional committees and regulatory bodies. Tom, great to have you back, buddy. How are you?
I'm here.
Oh, good to have you, pal. Good to have you. Listen, the otherwise left-leaning Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals apparently ruled unanimously in Trump's favor regarding California Governor Gavin Newsom's challenge to his authority regarding the use of National Guards in L.A. Trump only did it to defend both ICE and the general population there. Now, Newsom contended that Trump was required to seek his permission by law and that the matter wasn't even judicially reviewable. The liberal court begged to differ. Just how big of a spanking was this, Tom?
That's significant because the Ninth Circuit is by far the most liberal group of judges around the country in the circuit courts. And if they rule unanimously, it's extremely significant and says to Governor Newsom and anyone else who tries to interfere with the president calling out the National Guard in the manner that he did legally, that they should not be wasting the taxpayers' time and money fighting against it.
Really? It's just so bizarre. And, you know, the left was originally jubilant over this, thinking that its living document theory was getting the traction it so deserved. As a matter of fact, this was how Slate Magazine had reported on the lower court's ruling last week. Here's the headline: a judge smacked down Trump's National Guard takeover in the most sweeping way possible. It was written by Dahlia Lithwick and Mark Joseph Stern. Anyway, this is what they had written. On Thursday night, U.S. District Judge Charles Breyer ruled that Donald Trump unlawfully federalized the California National Guard in order to quell mass protests against his administration's immigration raids on Los Angeles. Actually, they weren't immigration raids. They were illegal immigration raids, okay? There's a disparity between the two. I don't know why they're always conflating the two terms. Maybe because it's a way of short-circuiting the arguments they can't otherwise muster. Anyway, went on to say the brother of former Justice Stephen Breyer issued a temporary restraining order attempting to demobilize the National Guard and return control over the force to California Governor Gavin Newsom. His decision was promptly paused by an appeals court, which will review it in an emergency hearing on Tuesday. It goes on to say that, there's a looming prospect of the Supreme Court's intervention. I got to ask you, is it safe to conclude, and which, of course, that I don't think is going to happen, because I'm wondering, is it safe to conclude that Governor Newsom and Democrats are now less likely to seek an appeal with the Supreme Court since, again, contrary to Slate Magazine's initial take, the only ones, quote-unquote, smacked down were Newsom, Democrats, and U.S. District Judge Charles Breyer by this unanimous decision? Or am I being overzealous in my take on this?
Oh, I don't think they'll give up. it's not Gavin's money. It's his state taxpayers' money. So they'll probably try to keep going, or at least try a different tactic to prevent this from occurring. But here's the other question. Why would they not want help in preventing what otherwise would have been a pretty substantial amount of damage to the city of Los Angeles? They needed the National Guard. And, the local LAPD said, yeah, we're happy they're here. It's tough for us to address all these quote-unquote demonstrations, that some members of Congress have called, very peaceful despite the damage. And people are sick and tired of these demonstrations becoming violent. It impacts local businesses and the taxpayers.
I know. It does seem as if California is trying to generate as many conservative converts as possible. They're going out of their way to bring people over to the other side. I mean, it's almost as if their stupidity is the GOP's unexpected Trojan horse sent to the Democrats, but it's organically growing on its own. Now, look, while I want to continue with this development, I think it's important to show how this, Tom, when you think about it, is yet another sign of lower courts being exposed as activists. And they're not limited to the 677 U.S. District Courts. Some appellate ones are also being exposed. For instance, we recently had that, that Ohio woman receiving a unanimous Supreme Court win, regarding her not being required to demonstrate a heightened evidentiary standard when putting forward a discrimination complaint. Matter of fact, wait a second, I got something here. Here's how Fox News reported it earlier this month. Here's the excerpt. The Supreme Court on Thursday ruled unanimously in favor of an Ohio woman who claimed she was discriminated against for job promotions in favor of gay candidates. The ruling, Ames v. Ohio, Department of Youth Services, finds that members of majority groups in protected classes do not need to meet a higher standard of evidence in order to establish discrimination. Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson wrote the opinion of the court in the 9-0 decision. Get this, quote, the Sixth Court, again, one of these activist appellate courts I was referencing, quote, the Sixth Circuit has implemented a rule that requires certain Title VII plaintiffs, those who are members of majority groups, to satisfy a heightened evidentiary standard, Jackson wrote. We conclude that Title VII does not impose such a heightened standard on majority group plaintiffs. Therefore, the judgment below is vacated. And Fox goes on to say the woman in the case is Marlene Ames, a heterosexual woman who had worked for the Ohio Department of Youth Services since 2004. She argued that she was discriminated against on the basis of her sexual orientation after she was passed over for a promotion in 2019 in favor of a lesbian woman and was then later replaced in her role by a gay man. That's the end of the excerpt. So, Tom, she was provably passed over because of her majority demographic status, but was told her complaint was invalid because of that very same majority demographic status to which she belongs. Now, wasn't this another unambiguously exposed example of judicial activism in the lower courts, including the appellate? Tom?
No, absolutely. Look, the Supreme Court has made it clear, and certainly the administration, the Trump administration, has made it clear that anything like this should be, these kinds of promotions and advancements and hiring should be based on merit. And it's about time that that changed, because that's the way that you grow companies and economy. You do the job, regardless of what you look like or who you are.
Really, and Title VII would seem to embrace that with great clarity, yet we had a complete unanimous ruling by the Supreme Court in opposition to two lower courts, an appellate and a district judge. How can all these judges look at plainly written law and come to breathtakingly different conclusions when there is zero ambiguity to justify those conclusions? It is mind-boggling. Tom, always a blast. Thanks again, folks. You're listening to The Alan Nathan Show right here on the Main Street Radio Network.
It's no surprise that people love their pets. In fact, 97% of pet owners consider them part of the family. Amazon's Jen Ray has more.
Amazon Pet Day makes caring for your pets easier than ever. The 48-hour sales event features thousands of deals with the convenience of Amazon's fast delivery. Whether you're welcoming a new puppy, upgrading essentials for a senior pet, or looking for products that pamper, there's something for everyone.
Nearly two-thirds of U.S. households have a pet. That's 86.9 million homes.
With so many households having pets, Amazon has something for every pet owner and their furry friends, from trusted basics to exciting new favorites across price points. Plus, Amazon is expanding its pet care offerings, now providing prescription pet medications on Amazon.com through VetSource, a leading pet pharmacy.
On May 13th and 14th, Amazon Pet Day will offer incredible deals, including on our most popular and pet-approved brands, like Purina Pro Plan, Iams, PetSafe, O'Norman, Ring, and more. Learn more at Amazon.com/Pet Day. As the school year winds down, many high school students are thinking ahead to what comes next. For some, that means staying academically engaged over the summer and preparing for the transition to college. Shauna Thayer, CEO of the online education platform Sophia Learning, has more.
Sophia Learning offers college-level courses that students can take at their own pace and are designed to transfer for credit. This summer, we're giving eligible rising high school juniors and seniors free access to 6 college-level courses. It's a great way for students to get a head start, see what college classes are really like, or try something new without the pressure.
A new survey finds that 72% of high school juniors and seniors who plan to attend college in the next 2 years feel they need to go to college to be successful, but 51% want more time to decide on a major.
Preparing for college is exciting, but can come with uncertainty. This program gives students a chance to learn at their own pace, gain confidence, and make informed choices about their future.
Learn more at sophia.org. That's Sophia with a PH.org.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
"Hey, you got this. Just breathe." Hey. We're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
The mission of Paralyzed Veterans of America is clear. Accessibility. Veterans who have served and sacrificed the best of themselves deserve access to the best our country has to offer. Access to meaningful employment. Access to the veterans' benefits they've earned. Accessible homes and vehicles. And access to every part of their communities. With PVA staff working inside VA hospitals, no other veterans organization has provided more real-time, ongoing support for paralyzed veterans and their families. PVA is proud to serve veterans across all branches, all generations, and all conflicts. Our nation's heroes fought for your independence. Join PVA in fighting for theirs at pva.org.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back. Every year is Alan Nathan, the militant moderate. Once again, this is The Oasis. For those who have an aversion to the left-right, black-white, two-dimensional approach, absolutely delighted you could be with us. Covering a number of things here today. The Ninth Appellate Court unanimously sides with Trump's use of the National Guard protecting ICE agents against rioters in L.A. This, of course, hands Governor Gavin Newsom and fellow Democrats a huge defeat on the issue. Will this perhaps quell the left's unhinged behavior on the matter? Also, will Trump authorize the use of our bunker-busting massive ordnance penetrator to destroy Iran's Fordow nuclear facility buried like 300 feet below ground? And by the way, would this really conflict with his America First agenda, or perhaps be in support of it, given the nuclear risk to our nation? We have assisting in the opining and analyzing over front of the show, Dr. Ivan Sasha Sheehan, Executive Director of the School of Public and International Affairs at the University of Baltimore. He's one of the country's top scholars of Iranian dissident movements. Sheehan is author of more than about 100 publications and has appeared in Newsweek, National Review, the National Interest, and, of course, Fox News, among other outlets. And he's here to chat with us about the Iranian-Israeli conflict. Dr. Sheehan, good to have you back. How are you today?
Alan, thanks for having me on. It's great to be with you.
No, pleasure. Pleasure indeed. It appears as if Iran is flailing away. There's still a danger. 80% of their missiles are repelled by the Iron Dome, but that means that a percentage are getting through, and those that get through can cause a lot of damage. Fortunately for the Israelis, the potential damage that could have been realized hasn't come about, but still lives have been lost. Damage has been sustained. A hospital was attacked. Also, the crown jewel of their science endeavors, the Weinstein Institute, has been hit. And this constitutes the Iranians perhaps saying, hey, you're going after our scientists, now we're going after yours. So from a psychological perspective, I guess this was a bit of a windfall for them. But on balance, in the grand scheme of things, I think it's fair to say Iran's getting its ass kicked, and it needs to keep getting its ass kicked until its ass stays down. Or am I being too trite?
No, I think you're exactly right, and I think we need to be clear-eyed in the United States. Military force is clearly not off the table. I think, if anything, we can conclude at this juncture that President Trump is not averse to supporting or likely even engaging in direct military action in Iran. But most serious analysts that I'm familiar with in the intelligence and defense communities agree that force should only follow if several thresholds are crossed. Number one, if there's a direct attack on U.S. assets or personnel. Number two, if there are American deaths, civilian or military, caused by Tehran or its proxies. And number three, if there are credible threats to U.S. embassies, military bases, or key allies.
Can I ask you something? As a matter of language, denotatively or connotatively, how have all three not yet been met at one time or another? I mean, we've had almost 1,000 Americans killed, whether you're talking about back in the early 80s with the 240-some-odd Marines killed in the barracks courtesy of Iran or Khobar Towers, or the current threat that we have against our existing embassies. That's another box already ticked. And the imminent threat of a nuclear weapon seems to have already been realized. I mean, my God, the UN's IAEA, an organization normally inclined to kiss the collective backside of the Iranian government, actually came out recently and said, okay, you guys are in noncompliance with the 1970 Nuclear Nonproliferation Treaty, and we're letting the world know about it. Iran was furious at this, but this seemed to be one of the contributing green lights for Israel to move as it did, because it views, and I think rightly so, Iran as an existential threat. And because its capabilities, its international ballistic missile capabilities can reach not only Israel, but also all of Europe and also the United States, how is it that each of the three benchmarks you referenced as requisites have not already been fulfilled? I'm not being trite here. I'm not being in any way, if you will, it's a bit sarcastic in any fashion. I'm being straightforward. How is it that the three areas you cited have not yet been realized?
No, I mean, I think you're right. You know, Alan, as a radical moderate, I trust that you and your listeners are interested in evidence-based solutions, not ideological presentations. You're not necessarily for or against war. You're interested, like me, in pragmatic options. You're eager to know what works and what doesn't. And it's important for me to, in order to answer your question, take a step back and acknowledge that, you know, in the aftermath of 9/11, I was among the first scholars in the country to undertake empirical analyses of U.S. participation in the global war on terror. I created the largest quantitative terrorism incident database and mined it. And what I discovered with hard numbers is that preemptive force often makes worse the problem of terrorism. It increases its level and lethality and dispersion and frequency.
Agreed.
At the same time, Alan, neither is appeasement of rogue regimes a satisfactory solution.
Agreed.
And so, you know,
Let me ask you this, Doctor. Is it possible that we could draw an analogy here? To me, it's like, if I'm at a bar, you may not have attacked me yet, but I'm still allowed to punch you in the face if preceding my punching of your face is your fist above my head. Now, if you have a fist hovering above my head, is it incumbent upon me to wait for you to first strike me before I'm able to do something about it? Or can I acknowledge that as enough of an imminent threat whereby I'm justified in ensuring that you don't get to fully realize the threat that you're hovering above me? What say you?
No, listen, I mean, I think we both agree that regime change is necessary in Iran, that there's no future for the ruling theocracy that have threatened not just their own population, but the United States and the Western world. From my perspective, the only durable solution to the Iran crisis is not found in foreign military deployment or another round of failed diplomacy. It lies with supporting the democratic aspirations of the Iranian people and their organized resistance.
Do it differently than we did in Iraq, because I agree with you. We did not handle that as we should have. I mean, I could understand the reason why we thought there were weapons of mass destruction. The bottom line is, because people may not remember this, but after Gulf War I, Saddam Hussein was required at Safwan Air Base to turn over a list of where all of his WMDs were located, and you couldn't walk by a radio or a television without hearing scum finding yet more WMDs and destroying them day in, day out, week in, week out. And then when the list was 85% finished, that's when Saddam Hussein sequestered the inspectors into the Baghdad Hotel, essentially keeping them from completing their job. Now, the logic was, hey, 85% of this list has been accurate, 15% remains, so therefore, by default, he clearly has WMDs. So circumstantially, that was the argument, but we weren't able to ever completely show that to be the case, number one. And number two, when it came to the way we managed regime change, it was in a sloppy fashion. I'm like you. I don't think we should handle it in any way that we did then. Let it grow more organically, but perhaps set up the circumstances that would allow for it. I'll tell you what, if you can, Doc, hang on the line. Folks, you're listening to The Alan Nathan Show right here on the Main Street Radio Network. Going to be right back.
Summer can be a nonstop sprint for busy families. Between camps, road trips, and backyard barbecues, meals and snacks need to be quick, convenient, and kid-friendly. Lifestyle expert Yvette Rios has tips from the dairy aisle.
June is National Dairy Month, and dairy is a summertime lifesaver. So whether it's string cheese in a cooler, yogurt cups on the go, or even cottage cheese, these grab-and-go staples fuel kids without slowing parents down. Refrigerated doughs are another smart pick.
According to new research from the National Frozen and Refrigerated Foods Association, 77% of parents turn to dairy for convenient, kid-friendly summer solutions.
There are so many simple ways to build out a meal with dairy. Pasta salads with shredded cheese, veggie trays with ranch or sour cream dips, cottage cheese bowls topped with fruit and eggs for easy breakfast or protein-packed snacks.
To get more meal ideas and snack inspiration, visit easyhomemeals.com. That's easyhomemeals.com.
It's a well-known fact that guys often skip the doctor when they're sick and delay important health screenings. During Men's Health Month in June, encourage the men in your life to break that bad habit and take charge of their health. Vince Dorsey, a pharmacist and director of medical communications at Esperion Therapeutics, says a great way to start is with a cholesterol test.
The best defense is a good offense. High cholesterol has no symptoms. That's why it's called the silent killer. Don't put it off. Get your cholesterol tested and know your family's health history. You may not realize it, but high cholesterol can be an inherited genetic condition, putting otherwise healthy people, even in their 20s, at risk for heart disease. If you have high LDL or bad cholesterol, it is best to address this as soon as possible. There are ways to lower these levels, reducing your risk of heart attack or stroke.
If you or someone you love has high LDL cholesterol, your doctor may recommend lifestyle changes and medication to keep it in check. Visit heart.org to learn more.
Hi, it's Practical Polly's radio show. If you're just figuring out that healthier cooking oils are better than solid fats, you may be asking, now what am I going to do with all these tubs of lard? Ever had one of those moments when your favorite skinny jeans feel too tightly tailored? Generously apply lard to your hips and thighs and those fancy pants will slide on like a dream. Or here's a family-friendly idea. How about making your yard into a lard fun park? Frost your driveway with a nice thick coating and give those kiddos a downhill thrill no matter what time of year. Having a bad hair day? Yep. A little lump of lard can tame your flyaways in a jiffy. So there's no need for that lard to go to waste or to your waste. But get your best heart-healthy trade-up with healthier oils, like canola, olive, or other vegetable oils, which can actually lower your chances for heart disease. Now that's a tip worth keeping for life. Learn more at heart.org/facethefats. Canola Info is the national supporter of the American Heart Association's Face the Fats campaign.
Steven.
Who said that?
Me, down here.
What are you, a yellow booger?
I'm a banana slug, Steven.
Well, what are you doing in my room?
I'm your sense of adventure. Don't you remember me? Don't you know that we miss you?
Miss me? Who misses me?
You know, all your friends in the forest. The trees, the pond, that little fort that you made out of branches. We all miss you.
Mom took me to the forest last year.
I'm a slug, Steven. It took me a long time to get here.
Oh, I guess that makes sense.
The forest is not that far away. Have an adventure today. I'm sure your mom would take you.
You're right. I should get out. I want to have fun. Play in puddles, catch frogs, and climb trees. Hey, Mom!
Yeah, hon?
Steven! What is that in your hand?
It's my sense of adventure, Mom. It's telling me we need to get out of the house and have some fun in nature today.
Come to the forest where the more adventurous you lives. Check out discovertheforest.org for cool places nearby. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
No word in the English language is less convincing than probably.
Are you sure we should get matching tattoos on our first date?
Sure. We'll probably stay together.
Probably? It's been 23 minutes since I ate. I can probably swim.
You should wait 30 minutes.
Okay, now tell me what to do. Cannonball! Cramp! Oh, I have a cramp. I can probably hit the green from here. Probably. Can I get a mulligan?
Ready to go?
Hey, are you sure you're okay to drive?
Yeah, I'm pretty sober. Yeah, I'm probably okay.
Probably okay isn't okay, especially when it comes to drinking and driving. If you're drinking, call a cab, a car, or a friend. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Absolutely magnificent what Israel has done since Saturday when this launched as well.
done with such precision and lethality, and we want to support that. Now, I think we absolutely got to follow him into this and take out the nuclear facilities, because it might not even a true path for real peace in the region. Now, because now taking out Iran at this point, that's necessary if you ever have a chance to have any real peace in the Middle East.
That was Senator John Fetterman, Democrat of the great state of Pennsylvania, complimenting Israel on what they've done to Iran thus far, and that America should help take out Iran's nuclear sites. He says that Iran must be taken out to achieve real peace in the Middle East. But, of course, not everybody concurs with him in his party. I want to go ahead and turn to, and by the way, that clip was from Fox News' America's Newsroom with Bill Hemmer. Also from that same show, we have them discussing different takes from people like Senator Bernie Sanders. Clip 9, James, if you please.
Well, all your Democratic colleagues are not on board with you. And Bernie Sanders is pushing for resolution right now. He writes this. He says, Netanyahu's reckless and illegal attacks violate international law and risk igniting a regional war. Congress must make it clear that the United States will not be dragged into Netanyahu's war of choice. But just that line about reckless and illegal attacks, what do you think about that? And do you consider yourself far from the Democratic norm in your party?
Well, I mean, I'm going to vote that down. I've got in a habit of voting some of his kinds of votes down. Of course, I'm always going to stand with Israel through this. Now, if I'm an outlier in Democratic, I guess perhaps I'm unapologetically very pro-Israel. And now here, it's what's true is that Iran has nuclear ambitions, 100%. And now we can't ever allow them to acquire a bomb. And now what's these also true is that they have created the proxies. They have Hamas and Hezbollah. You know, so now let's hold them accountable for this.
I got to say, this guy's had an amazing comeback from the stroke that had tragically afflicted him. I was wondering if he'd ever be able to make a comeback, but he most assuredly has. He has attained a level of eloquence that I don't think anybody can credibly deny. And he also appears to have an expanded world mindset, contrary to Bernie Sanders, who seems to have the cerebral dexterity of an airborne toenail clipping. Bernie Sanders saying it's lawless, war by choice. Well, the UN Security Council came out and said, hey, Iran is in violation of the 1970 Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty. By default, once that happens, if you're a state that's been threatening another state, that means something. That means that states that are directly endangered by that behavior get to defend themselves as a matter of language. Unless language is no longer tethered to the meanings of the words that comprise it, Sanders is out of his effing mind by asserting it to be an unlawful war. All of us have a right to defend ourselves, and we sure as F don't have to wait for us to be first attacked before we defend ourselves. If the threat is imminent, by every universal measure known to humankind, then there is a justification for self-defense. Anyway, we have assisting in the opining and analyzing over to the show Dr. Ivan Sasha Sheehan, executive director of the School of Public and International Affairs at the University of Baltimore. Of course, one of the country's top scholars when it comes to Iranian dissident movements. Dr. Sheehan, appreciate you sticking around. I can see why Israel is trying to be very, very targeted with their attacks, trying to protect as much of the population as possible versus what Iran is up to. It seems to me, or am I being overly sanguine in my take, it seems to me that the Iranian population might, to a very large extent, be grateful for what Israel's doing, even though at the same time, of course, they hope that none of their family members are hit. At the same time, it seems in its aggregate form, there's overall satisfaction with what's going on. Or am I seeing too much into this, Doctor?
Well, no, I think you're correct. Israel is certainly doing what it believes it needs to do, and the United States is supporting Israel's actions on the ground. Though the United States clearly is not yet involved directly in any type of military engagement. But, you know, Alan, for too long, my concern is that the American public has been boxed into a false choice, that is capitulation or conflict. And this, from my perspective, is a binary that's outdated and dangerous, because when it comes to Iran, there is a third option that puts democratic values at the center of the equation.
What's
that? We've seen this trap before. We've seen endless wars in Iraq and in Libya and in Afghanistan, wars with no strategic horizon. And now some are trying to push us into the same type of war with Iran. But the fact of the matter is that war with the Islamic Republic brings different challenges and different opportunities. So, let me make this point. We don't need another war.
No.
And we certainly don't need another deal that appeases the regime by injecting billions into the coffers of the world's state sponsor of terrorism.
Correct.
At a moment when we have the upper hand. What we need is fierce, unrelenting pressure that is strategically applied against the regime that is the source of the problem, and that is the one in Tehran. And, I must say, I fully agree with the leader of the Iranian opposition, Mariam Rajavi, the president-elect of the National Council of Resistance of Iran, that the regime change by the people of Iran and its organized resistance is the surest path towards regional peace.
Doctor, let me ask you this. Is it possible that the geographical topography of Iran might be doing us the biggest favor, because that makes it a fully justified reason why we should never go in with troops on the ground? I mean, it's in like a big bowl where you don't have mountain ranges blocking easy access. You've got deserts. So it would be impractical to do boots on the ground. It would seem that maybe, just maybe, if either A, we go in with the bunker buster, MOP, the massive ordnance penetrator. Now, apparently one of those bombs, it was like 30,000 pounds. It can travel down to 200 feet, but I think the facility is 300 feet or more. So you would need successive bombs. But the alternative to that would be to have the Israelis with a commando team, let them go in and destroy it with a special forces unit of their own, and pretty much satisfy the same endeavor. But the bottom line is that in and of itself could very well remove the biggest leverage the Islamic State has right now over its people and the rest of the world. Once you take away its nuclear capability, it would seem to be more ripe for an organic uprising, and let the rest of the world just watch and witness. Your take?
Well, I think you're absolutely right. The United States could certainly become involved in kinetic operations that accelerated the demise of the Iranian nuclear program. But what's missing here and is critically important for lasting stability in the region is the most crucial element, that is the Iranian people. When it comes to Iran, there is a viable alternative to the theocracy. And as I said, it's called the National Council of Resistance of Iran. This is a broad-based coalition led by Iranians. They're fighting for a secular, democratic, non-nuclear republic. They have a blueprint for a free Iran.
What leverage do they have, though? What leverage do they have against the IRGC?
Well, they've been very active against the IRGC in terms of mobilizing against the IRGC and giving voice to the democratic aspirations of the Iranian people. I mean, if you look at their 10-point plan, you could see why it would resonate with U.S. authorities, but also individuals on the ground in Iran. And you can see why it is that the clerical regime would be so threatened by it.
Well, I think you'll agree with me, though, sir, that before any of that can happen, and I completely love what you're saying, but in order to facilitate that, in order to allow for the circumstances that would subsequently permit what you're talking about being put in motion, you need to have removed from the Iranian regime that we have today its ultimate leverage, which is their nuclear capability. So before anything that you're now discussing can happen, that capability must be destroyed. Then after that, I agree with you. We don't want to get involved with a regime change. We don't want boots on the ground or anything. We've got to have that facility destroyed, the Fordow facility destroyed. So the big question is, how best to bring that about? Now, if we do drop those bombs, we're technically considered involved in the war, even if we pull back and say, hey, that's it, our job's done, we're gone for the day. which still technically involved. The alternative, of course, would be to have a special forces type unit sent in by the Israelis to do there what they did in Syria. And that seems to be more ideal, or am I being overly sanguine?
Well, you're right. You know, the issue is that neither the United States nor Israel wants to occupy or govern Iran. The blueprint for a free Iran can be found in the 10-point plan. It can be found in the opposition's rejection of clerical rules, their support of free speech and freedom of political parties.
But you agree that none of that. But you agree none of that can happen until the removal of their nuclear capability. Yes.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Well, that's it. I mean, I like your plan, but now we're still stuck with the question, how best to get rid of Fordo? You're listening to The Alan Nathan Show. Going to be right back.
Planning a summer road trip? You're not alone. Over 75% of Americans are hitting the road this season. But before you pack the snacks and playlists, make sure your car and your car insurance are road trip ready. Start with a full vehicle checkup. Brakes, oil, tires, wipers. Pack an emergency kit, learn how to change a tire, and bring a backup map because GPS is not always reliable out there. Understanding your coverage is important as well. Although many people think they understand their insurance, a recent survey found 96% of drivers misunderstood at least one part of their policy. And that's where the General can help. With our app, you can review your policy, file a claim fast, or get a quote in 2 minutes or less. At The General, our mission is to give people a break when they need it most. And that's why we've made managing your car insurance easier, faster, and smoother, so you can stay focused on the road ahead. Planning a trip? Visit thegeneral.com so you can hit the road with confidence.
With the cost of living rising dramatically, budgets are tight and customers are looking for ways to stretch their dollars. T-Mobile has launched two new experience plans, adding industry-leading value and savings, plus a 5-year price guarantee, so customers can rest assured that the price of their talk, text, and data stays the same. The Experience Beyond plan includes over $200 in added value for every line every month, with satellite connectivity, yearly device upgrades, and an entertainment streaming bundle that includes Apple TV+, Hulu, Netflix, and more. For more information, visit T-Mobile.com, sponsored by T-Mobile.
National Iced Tea Day is just around the corner, and it's the perfect time to celebrate everyone's favorite summertime beverage. As a tea sommelier, I'm always looking for tea products with high-quality ingredients that are sourced responsibly. When it comes to a bottled tea, my go-to is Tea Java. It's brewed in small batches using quality tea leaves from Java, Indonesia. No sugar, no calories, and no added preservatives. Just a refreshing, authentic tea like I brewed it myself. Tea Java is a must-have this summer. You can learn more at teajava.com.
Dear John, I was hoping it wouldn't come to this, but you've left me no choice. I'm leaving. Uncontrolled high blood pressure is really serious, and lately you seem to really not care. I've been there for you since day one, and I know you think I'm going to keep ticking. But no, my friend, I can quit whenever I want. Why can't we get back to the good times? When we were more active and ate more healthy foods, and you checked on me every once in a while. Is that too much to ask? I don't want to leave, but unless you stop ignoring me, what else am I supposed to do? Remember, when I quit, you quit. Sincerely, your heart.
Listen to your heart and don't let it quit on you. Doing the minimum to control your high blood pressure isn't doing enough. High blood pressure can lead to a stroke, heart attack, or death. Get your blood pressure to a healthy range before it's too late. For help keeping yours at a healthy range, text PRESSURE to 97779. A message from the American Heart Association, the American Stroke Association, and the Ad Council.
You know that feeling? Like every door is closing and you just can't see a way out? Being unemployed, underemployed, or just out of school feels a lot like that. But when you find the right tools, suddenly, everything just clicks. Getting on that path may be easier than you think. A good place to start? Go to findsomethingnew.org. At findsomethingnew.org, you have access to resources that help develop new skills. Skills that will position you for careers in today's growing industries. From healthcare and manufacturing to cybersecurity and alternative energy. Plus, you can take advantage of online courses, certification programs, apprenticeships, and more. So you can take yourself from unemployed and uncertain to empowered and prepared for what's next. Find your path to a new career today. Visit findsomethingnew.org. A message from the Ad Council.
I'm Ben Affleck, and I want to thank you for joining me and supporting Paralyzed Veterans of America. Our vets need you.
I'm a quadriplegic. I'm definitely at risk.
with my diminished lung capacity.
I have MS. I'm in a wheelchair and I can't leave the house because I have a compromised immune system.
I'm very concerned about, would there be a bed for me? Would there be a ventilator for me? Would I be able to survive something?
It's just heavy. You know, it's a heavy moment. This is a war. This really is.
Our veterans fought for us. Let's fight for them.
I am so grateful for the PVA. They're making sure that we have all of the food and supplies that we need right now.
We all got to help each other right now. We can't get through this by ourselves.
It's with profound gratitude that you're going to be saving our lives.
To find out how you can help, please go to helppva.org. That's helppva.org.
Looks like the National Guard will stay put here in Los Angeles, at least as long as President Trump orders them here. All three judges ruling in favor of the president, concluding that Trump was lawfully within his authority to take control of the Guard. Now, the decision came from a three-judge panel on the 9th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals. It halts a lower court ruling that had previously stated that Trump's actions were illegal when he deployed the Guard over opposition from California Governor Gavin Newsom, citing damage to federal buildings and objects protesters had thrown at officers. The court believes the Trump administration showed enough proof it was justified to send in the Guard, at least in this scenario. The president calling it a big win, adding, "This is a great decision for our country, and we will continue to protect and defend law-abiding Americans." But California Governor Gavin Newsom reacting by saying the president is not a king and is not above the law. He says they'll press forward with their challenge to President Trump's, quote, authoritarian use of the U.S. military against citizens.
Yeah, good luck with that when the most liberal appellate court on the planet unanimously batted you down, saying you were wrong on the law. This is just astonishing, this development. Again, the 9th appellate court unanimously siding with Trump's use of the National Guard protecting ICE agents against rioters in L.A. This, of course, handing California Governor Gavin Newsom and fellow Democrats a huge defeat on the issue. You got to wonder if it's going to quell the left's unhinged behavior on the matter. We're also discussing whether or not Trump will be authorizing the use of our bunker-busting massive ordnance penetrator to destroy Iran's Fordow nuclear facility. This thing's buried like 300 feet below ground. And folks are wondering, well, will this conflict with Trump's America First agenda, or perhaps actually be in support of it, given the nuclear risk to our nation? But I want to get back to the craziness of some of these lower courts, especially as it relates to matters of wokeness, if you will. Recently, there was a 6-3 Supreme Court ruling allowing for states to pass laws banning gender reassignment surgery for minors. This would seem to be a rather self-evident and straightforward conclusion that should have been always predictable, but nonetheless had a lot of folks at war over the issue. But as you know from listening to my show, I always believe that this would eventually be the case. We have assisting in the opining and analyzing Dr. Gilda Carl, spokesperson for the International Council of Men and Boys. She's appeared on most television talk shows and news programs. She was the host of MTV's Love Doc and TV shows on Trinity Broadcasting Network. As a matter of fact, she wrote the quote-unquote 30-second therapist column for the Today Show, the Ask Dr. Gilda column for Match.com. And, by the way, she was the therapist in HBO's Emmy Award winner Telling Nicholas, featured on Oprah. And she's also author of 19 books, including Real Men Don't Go Woke. Dr. Carl, thanks so much for joining us today. How are you?
It's my pleasure. Thank you for having me here.
Good to have you. Good to have you. Well, it was a 6-3 decision separated on ideological lines. The liberal wing of the court voted in unison against this particular law. And I believe it was out of Tennessee, if memory serves. It seems to me, though, that it's self-evident, because why would we allow children to make a decision about gender reassignment surgery at an age when they're still trying to determine which Marvel comic strip hero they would most like to emulate? What am I missing?
Oh, how well you stated that. Actually, 25 states have enacted laws that ban transgender treatments for minors. I have a problem, however, with waiting until 18 years of age. That's the law. That's until they become majority age. And minors at 12 and 13 should not be selecting this for themselves. However, 18 is very, very young because all of the studies tell us that the prefrontal cortex of the brain does not mature until 25. And now recently, scientists are saying, it's more like 30. So you tell a 12-year-old to decide to cut off body parts? Where are the parents?
Yeah, and isn't that the age? And isn't that the age where kids are most vulnerable to peer pressure? And if they want to be in with the cool view, there is no more vulnerable time in their lives when they can be persuaded to go along with the wrong cool view than at that age. Because, again, that is still the age when they're deciding which Marvel comic strip hero they most wish to emulate. It seems to me to be
analogy.
A bridge. Thank you. It seems to be a bridge too far. Now, I think through their strategy of shaming, you write on the woke a lot, these woke DEI zealots, what they're doing, Doc, in my estimation, is that they undermine the, let's say, primary moral measure of our right to choose our own individual paths by conjuring these secondary measures of allegedly higher morals in order to leverage the replacement of that primary one. And I'm talking about what the parents have to say where their kids are concerned. In other words, we've got to relinquish our priorities in favor of theirs, or we're bad people. I mean, don't folks eventually catch on to the difference between a genuine premise and the pretext just pretending to be one? Doctor.
Well, I'm afraid that you asked about the parents. Where are they? So many of the parents today have decided that they want to be friends with, not friendly towards, but friends with their kids. And if a kid said, I really think I'm a boy, and even though I'm a girl, but I want to be a boy, and the parents will say, well, I don't want to deny my child the right to choose what's best in his own interest. The problem is that the parents are not doing parenting. The parents need to start setting boundaries, saying no, or better still, when you are the age of majority, and that's what I disagree with, but when you are 18, you can decide. And then maybe by the time they're 18, they will have grown out of this so-called phase.
Doctor, you do realize that your otherwise very erudite assessment proves that there are a lot of people over 30 whose brains have still not yet fully formed.
Unfortunately, I know people in their 60s and 70s who I wonder about. So I agree with you.
I mean, that cerebral cortex is getting a beating today on national radio. Look, it seems to me... But what they have right now, the left right now, they're using this manipulative inverted burden of proof formula. I mean, they're always trying to find a way to remove our free will as adults, and this is especially harmful when it comes to how we treat our children. Because you're right about a lot of adults, they just want to get in with the cool crowd as well, or they want to treat their kids as if they're friends. But in defense of parents, it's parents who have been the ones out there on the front lines disabusing these academic institutions, these elementary schools and high schools of the belief that they get to have final control. Whether it's Loudoun County, Virginia, or elsewhere, there have been plenty of cities and states where parents have said enough is enough. And I think that helped lead to this proper Supreme Court ruling. Would you not agree, yes or no?
I absolutely agree with you.
Well, then, of course, I find your views to be most erudite. No, I'm just kidding. Dr. Garr, thanks so much for joining us. You're listening to The Alan Nathan Show.
The opinions you hear on the Main Street Radio Network are those of the host, callers, and guests, and not necessarily those of the station, Main Street Radio Network, its management, or advertisers. The information on the Main Street Radio Network does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. So please, consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions or comments about Main Street Radio Network, contact us at 703-719-0433 or at our website, mainstreetradionetwork.com.